Good morning and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way. And we are excited for another day of grace in which God has given us to proclaim the good news of the gospel, the grace of God, and to his wills to have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And we as dispensationalists will preach the word of God the way he designed it to be in times past, but now in ages to come. And a twofold program is the mystery program and the prophecy program. It is the 4th of July. Happy birthday, America. I know many things are going out in the world and firecrackers and all that stuff, but it is something to celebrate as Americans. And we hope that you have a great day. We also hope that you will enjoy the broadcast today. Through our YouTube channel, our website, our Facebook Live, and our Dispensational Bible Church page. A couple announcements. Don't forget about the Grace School of Bible Family Bible Conference that starts July 17th and goes to the 22nd. We will be there. I have a message to give on godly fathers, and it's Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock. So we hope that you will be able to tune in, and yes, it will be on the internet through either Grace Impact or shorewoodbiblechurch.org, and you can be able to see these messages that start Saturday night and ends Thursday night. So there are 21 preachers there, 21 messages, and once again, we hope that you'll be able to either come there or visit us through the internet there. So we really appreciate Grace School of Bible putting it on. Also, had some news this week. It was kind of exciting news that the fact that, you know, we had our ministry in Canton, Massillon area, Stark County area, and we had to close. Well, we was forced out of our building due to the Chinese virus. And we got an email just yesterday and saying, Edward, let you know that we're opening up the building in August 1st, the week of August 1st. And my inner man was just like excited, like, yeah. So I touched bases with some of the saints there that was with us, and they're excited. They're wanting us to come open back up, and they're willing to be there. And you know, we've been down here in the Cambridge area for a year, a little over a year now, proclaiming the good news, and we'll continue to proclaim the good news, but we're just excited that we'll be able to teach and preach to our group once again, and knowing that we haven't seen each other or been together in a while, and that's going to be exciting too. So keep that in thought and prayer. If you know anybody in that area that was looking for a home church, then we can continue to build there as we continue to build here also. So there's nothing wrong with having two or three places to meet, and so we're excited about that. So hopefully we'll get to see you in person and be able to bring other people too. Just a thought, a couple things that's on my mind, and in a way of prayer requests and praise items. Brother Walt's in the hospital, and a few other people that's on our hearts and mind. And you know, I was thinking about the message that I'm going to be given in Chicago, and it's on godly fathers. And if you look out there, I looked at some statistics, and there's like 18.3 million children that will go to bed without a biological father or stepfather or a father in their homes. And you know, we as a society has allowed to have fatherless homes, and that's put a strain on our youth, and it's put a strain on our country. So if you have fatherless homes and you have no home teaching what a father's supposed to be doing, then you're not going to be teaching them about a Father God. And we have to reach people now. I mean, even the baby boomers, 41% don't go to church anymore. So it's kind of, if you think about that and you think about what's going on in the world today, that everybody's got an excuse not to come to church. And we know the church is not a building, but it's us together. And how can you teach your kids if you're not one, saved, you know? And the Bible says it's Christ and man and women and children, and there's a authority there and a submissive type of thing. And that hit me kind of hard, thinking, you know, just because Joe's down the street don't mean Joe's saved, and don't mean that he, you know, he even cares about church anymore. And we've got a group of people coming up that's never been to church, and that's what the God of this world wants. They don't want church. They want, you know, they don't want people to understand their Bible. And you need to wake up, not only in the spiritual realm, but you need to wake up in the physical realm and understand what's going on. And you have to make some decisions. The whole theme about the Bible that we have is about a throne, power, authority, sitting on a throne over the entire universe. So there's a struggle here between Satan and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know by faith who's going to win. But we also know by faith that the god of this world, Satan, is also, is a liar. He's a father of lies from the beginning. And you think about when Lord Jesus Christ looked at these guys, at these religious leaders that's supposed to be leading his children, his child, and he looked at them and said, "Your father's the devil." And so, you know, I'm not afraid to stand on truth and the truth of the Word of God and the truth of what's going on out there. Now, it may hurt and slap people in the face a little bit, and I know you're supposed to do it with love, but the thing is, you need to wake up. You need to know that there's a spiritual warfare going out there, and, you know, people want to divide America, people want to divide the world, but there's really two groups, lost and saved. Lost, we need to get them saved to understand that God, Christ died for their sins and buried, rose again in the dispensation of grace. That's what you believe plus nothing else. And if you're saved, you need to come to knowledge of truth. Okay? You need to understand the Word of God, and you need to get out of the religious system and believe the words of God, believe the words on the page, and understand what God is doing. So I know that was a mouthful, but it's something that really, really needs to be proclaimed. In that sense. So let's go to word and prayer. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the things you've given us. And we ask as we think about the message, we think about the things that's on our hearts and minds, Lord, you tell us to lift up, give them to you. And in doing so, it gives us peace. And Father, we ask as we continue the lesson and fundamentals of dispensationalism, that we may be able to glean something even more so than we thought that we knew before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're in lesson 14. And last lesson, by the way, you saw a video of me last week. I had a little bit more hair and facial hair and stuff like that. It was my birthday, so I do thank you for the birthday wishes and cards and all. I am a little bit older. I've stepped over into the hope realm of 60 to 80 group, so 80 and beyond, I should say. But anyway, we thank you for that. But last lesson that we was together, we got down where the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manners of sicknesses and the diseases. And he sent forth his disciples to do the same. And when he sends out the disciples there, he sends them out to preach the same message that John the Baptist preached over here, and the same message that he preached, the Lord Jesus Christ preached. So that gospel of the kingdom that started right here is being preached to the nation Israel. And the gospel, it's called the gospel of the kingdom. And the gospel of the kingdom is the message that is being preached in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's not the gospel of the grace of God that's being preached. It's the gospel of the kingdom over here, the gospel of the kingdom, and which is very, very important for that time period, because you understand what message it is. It's the message of, well, let me ask you this. What is the message of the gospel of the kingdom? Okay, and the reason the wall is still up in the gospel of the kingdom, we know that there's a distinction here between Jew and Gentile. We know there's a wall, middle wall partition, and it's fortified by the law. And that gospel or the message is going to go out through the nation Israel, not through a bunch of Gentiles. So the gospel of the kingdom is the message of God coming and redeeming Israel. And Israel first has to be redeemed. Okay? They have to be redeemed first. And after Israel's redeemed, they can take that message of salvation that God has given them to the ends of the earth. That's the program that was over here to the ends of the earth over here. So however, until they have something to take, see, they don't have anything to take. They can't take the gospel of the grace of God because they don't have it over here. They have to take the gospel of the kingdom. And in order to take, they cannot be a channel of blessings, okay? And so the ministry of, during Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the message is exclusively to Israel, and because Israel has to be filled first. Be turned to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7 is a comparative passage to Matthew 15, where the Syrophoenician woman comes to the Christ and wanting to have her daughter healed. She's vexed with the devil, if you remember that. We talk about that all the time. Mark chapter 7, verse 27 says, "But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dog." Now, what did he say? Notice, he didn't say, let the children first be fed. Okay, he's feeding them. But they got to be filled. Okay, and there's a little difference there. Because in order to be filled, you'll be able to do the work and go out and not worry about being fed, being hungry. Now, there's times we feed people a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, keep them hungry. But in these people, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the little flock have to eat and be filled first, not fed, filled. And that's the reason why God will bless them so they can take it to the nations. Okay, we talk about the airplane thing. When you're sitting in an airplane, the lady's instructing you what to do if we crash and oxygen comes down. They said, first put it on you before you put it on anybody else. There's a reason for that. Okay, you first got to be filled and be able to work and do what they ask in order to help somebody else, Israel. Now, the gospel of the kingdom is based on a Davidic covenant over here. Okay, you had the Abraham covenant, promise the nation and land. Then you have the Davidic covenant about the throne. And we're going to be going over some verses today. So be turning to 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. And get 1 Chronicles chapter 17. And the covenant God made with David about the kingdom. That's what we're going to look at. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 14. "I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with a rod of men and with stripes of children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thy house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." So he's telling David his throne will be established forever. And I do believe forever is forever. Okay? 1 Chronicles 17, verse 14. We're going to read down through verse 15. "Go and tell David, my servant, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me a house to dwell in, for I have not dwelt in a house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day, but have gone from tent to tent and from tabernacle to another. Wheresoever I have walked with all Israel, spake I a word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I command to feed my people, saying, We have yet not built me a house. Why have ye not built me a house of cedars?" There's a question there. "Now therefore, thus shall thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from a sheep cote, even from the following the sheep, that I should be ruler over my people. And I have been with thee wheresoever thou hast walked, and have cut off all thy enemies from before thee, and have made thee a man like the name of the great men that are in the earth. Also I will ordain a place for my people, and will plant them, that they shall dwell in their place, and shall be moved no more. Neither shall the children of the wickedness waste them any more, as in the beginning. And since the time that I have commanded the judges to be over my people Israel, moreover I will subdue all thy enemies. Furthermore, I'll tell thee that the Lord will build thee a house. And it shall come to pass, when the days be expired, and thou must go to be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and will establish his kingdom. He shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, he shall be my son. I will not take my mercy away from him, and I took it from him that was before thee, as I took it. But I will settle him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established for evermore. According to all these words and according to the vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. In Psalms chapter 89, verse 34. Psalms chapter 89, verse 34. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and the faithful witnesses in heaven. The covenant made with David is the basis for this message, the gospel of the kingdom. So the gospel of the kingdom, preached by John, preached by the Lord Jesus Christ, preached by the 12 in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, looks back to that promise that God made to David, and to raise up a seed, and to give that seed to the kingdom over here. And it's important to understand the context of that message. Now go to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. What do we know about the book of Matthew? The book of Matthew portrays Jesus Christ as king. So everything he's pertaining to the book of Matthew, the son of Abraham and the son of David, is have to do with the promise of the nation of land and the promise of that throne and a kingdom over here. And Matthew chapter 3, verse 7 says, But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, this is John Baptist, and he said to them, O generations of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? John the Baptist is preaching about repent, be baptized for remission of sins, to flee from the wrath to come over here. And he says, bring forth fruit, therefore fruits meet of repentance. And think not to say unto yourself, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now as the axe is laid unto the root of the trees, therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into a fire. Okay? Now, very, very important there. Isaiah chapter 5 says that God planted a vineyard in Palestine. Okay, in the land over there. And it's a vine tree. And that tree sprang forth and became a nation, Israel. And John the Baptist shows up as a message from God for the nation Israel. Nobody else. The nation Israel. The Gentiles' nations are down here. Israel's up here. Supposed to have been set sanctified and set apart from all the other places. And John the Baptist shows up for the message of God. He was not concerned about us Gentiles down here. So quit thinking that back over here, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Bible, it's to you. Okay? You and I was back over here, we was following other gods and stuff. And he preached, John the Baptist, repent, because the kingdom was to come and will be brought by the king. And when the king comes as an agent to come to set up the that kingdom, the nation Israel is going to go forth into that kingdom. That's the promise over here. Listen, Lord Jesus Christ never promised a Gentile a kingdom. Okay? We created our own kingdoms, following Nimrod and all that stuff. And when Christ comes there, there will be judgment of fire, and he purges out those rebellious people and unbelievers, and only the believing remnant will go into that kingdom over here. And when he speaks about bringing forth fruits of repentance in verse 8, and Isaiah 33 talks about who shall abide the devouring fire. He tells you who is going to do it. And in the verses we didn't read, Isaiah says, he is upright and righteous will bring forth the fruits of repentance. And he says, think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham as our father. They are not to say, we are a part of the nation that goes back to Abraham, a part of Israel. And they are not to say that. That's not enough to say that, I should say. And the axe is laid at the roots of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast to the fire. Okay, he's got an axe in his hand. He's going to cut that tree down because it's not producing fruit. At the second advent, he will bring judgment to the unbeliever. The fire represents the great tribulation judgment. And there is unclean, unadulterate, or apostated, adulterous Israel right here. They're unclean. They're not producing fruit. And John calls them to repentance and to join that little flock of believers over here. Out of all that whole nation of Israel, just a little flock of believers comes out of that. A little remnant comes out of that. And the little flock was called the righteous nation in Isaiah 26. And that is the believing remnant that will go into the kingdom. And the gospel of the kingdom is designed to produce that group of people in Israel. And the gospel of the kingdom is not designed to convert the world at that time. They first got to be filled, okay? They first has got to be a part of a true vine, a true nation. Not this apostated nations that you see out there today or even at that time. It was designed to produce and develop a group of people that will be the government of the kingdom on this earth. A following, a believing remnant that's going to follow their king. In preaching the gospel of the kingdom, their function was to establish a structure of government of that kingdom and a group of people who will reign in the government. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, starting with verse 33. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and a hedge it round about, and diggeth a wine press in it, and build a tower, and let it out to a husbandman, and went into a far country. Now look at this. God Almighty plants a nation, a vineyard. That's Israel. He sets it apart by division between them and all the other nations. He hedges around it. He made it possible for them to bring forth fruit for him. He digs the wine press. He established a religion, the only religion God Almighty ever gave in all the human history. He gave to them, the nation Israel. They built a tower. not the Tower of Babel. This is another tower. He set some leaders over that nation. He led it out to husbandry. And then he went to a far country. Verse 34. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. And again, he sent another servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But at last, of all that he sent unto them his son, saying, I will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him. Let us seize on his inheritance. That's a sad situation. You know that? The Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, sent his son down here. And they said, uh-oh, here's the guy with inheritance. Let's praise him. Let's give him what he wants. They sought and killed him and seized on his inheritance. God the Father planted the nation, doing everything to get ready to bring forth fruit, putting it in the hands of some people to tend to it, the leaders of Israel. And when the time came for it to bring forth fruit, he sent his prophets. And instead of bringing forth fruit, they refused to listen to the prophets. And finally, God sent his son, Lord Jesus Christ. And what did he do? Away with him. We have no king Caesar. We will kill him and take over. That's exactly what they did right here. Exactly. Matthew 21, verse 39. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. And when the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto the other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruit in their seasons. And Jesus said unto them, did you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Verse 43. Therefore said I unto you, saying to those religious leaders of Israel, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth fruit thereof. And whoever shall fall on the stone shall be broken, but on whosoever shall fall, it will grind him into powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parable, they perceived that he spake of them. You better believe he spake to them. They got the point, didn't they? They got the point that those unbelieving Jews will be destroyed, and God is going to give that authority of Israel and give it to a nation that brings forth fruits into a kingdom over here. Now, a lot of people will tell you, a lot of commentaries, says that nation there is the Gentiles. That's not true. A lot of people say, well, they took that nation away from and gave it to us Gentiles. Well, you know, we become spiritual Jews in the dispensation of grace. That's not true, guys. Verse 43 is not the Gentiles. That verse is not speaking of it taking it from the Israel and giving it to the Gentile, because it says it's taken from you. That's apostate Israel and given to a nation. The word Gentile means nations, not one. And when in the dispensation of grace of God, what God is doing today, he is not forming a nation. He's forming a body of Christ that will be taken out of here and placed in the heavenly places over here. This is the nation on earth. And you got to remember that. And what one nation among the Gentiles did God give the kingdom to? Israel. And he had separated them out of, from among the nations. We looked at these passages before. And who is the nation he will give the kingdom to? Well, we'll find the answer in Luke chapter 12. Glad you asked. Where Jesus is talking to disciples, those separated out from the apostate Israel. Luke chapter 12, verse 31. Luke chapter 12, verse 31. You had the nation Israel that God put, planted a vineyard. They became a bramble bush. They started became apostated. They wasn't producing fruit. So he takes that nation, takes that authority, takes that kingdom and all everything with it away from that nation. Who's he going to give it to? He has it right here to give it to. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He ain't talking to us even back there. Luke chapter 12, verse 31. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. Sell that all ye have and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in heavens that faileth not, where no thief approach, neither moth corrupt. He is going to take that kingdom from idolatrous Israel and give it to a nation bringing forth fruits thereof. He identifies that nation as the little flock. And this is where, after he's died, buried, rose again, that little flock, the kingdom is offered to the nation Israel. Here it is, getting part of this little flock. Still not the nations. If you understand what is going on in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it will change your perspective and understanding on how what is written that differs from what is written about the ages to come over here and the age of grace. That's why you have to study the Word of God dispensationally. Times past, but now, ages to come. You can get wrapped up over here and think that God is talking to you and get confused. And when you're over here in the dispensation of grace of God and you're trying to apply the dispensation of kingdom to that and law and all that stuff, it is not going to work. You know what that law is going to do? It's going to produce wrath. It's going to make you angry because that's not what God's doing today. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. Verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have thereof, therefore? And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, that's ages come, when the Son of Man shall sit on in the throne of his glory, that's second advent over here, coming back over here. Ye, talking to 12 apostles, he's not talking about you and me. We're not there. We're not disciples. We're not apostles. We're not part of that nation. The body of Christ is not. Ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses and brethren and sisters and fathers and mothers or wives or children or lands for my sake, that's everyone that left the apostated, idolatrous nation Israel and repented and became identified with that little flock, believing Jews over here, shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. That is an earthly kingdom, guys. An earthly kingdom. What the gospel of the kingdom is designed to produce in Israel, that little flock, who will be the structure of a government of the kingdom. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, verse 12. He said, therefore, A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive him for himself a kingdom and return. He called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Gave them over here, occupy till I come. Jesus dies at Calvary and ascends into heaven. He receives the kingdom there. Daniel chapter 7 tells about he gets his kingdom from the Ancient of Days over here, way back over. And while he is gone from this earth, he gives his household unto the possession of his servants and tell them to occupy it till I come back. Verse 14. But his citizens hated him. That's that apostate nation. They hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he returned, when he was returned, having received the kingdom. That will be in Daniel chapter 7, verse 14. Christ gets the kingdom from the Ancient of Days and returns it. And that's when the kingdom comes over here, when he talks about. Verse 15. Then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first. Wait a minute. Let me read this. I had a thought just then. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thou pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servants, because thou hast faithful in very little, have thou authorities over 10 cities. You know, that trading, that gain. You know, the god of this world is merchandising, and he's trafficking things. So here's the Lord gives these faithful servants some money, some pounds, to do something with. And some of them does something good with it. I don't think they're merchandising what the god of this world's trafficking in, man stealing, human trafficking, sex trafficking. All that stuff is not new, guys. The god of this world set this up way over. Read Ezekiel sometime and find out what the king of Tyrus is doing and the prince of Tyrus is doing, which is Satan. Christ will set up a throne over the world, and David will sit on that throne over Israel. And each one of the 12 apostles will judge the 12 tribes of Israel, and each one of the 12 tribes will have one of the 12 divisions of the earth put under authority, and the saints of the Most High God, and saints of Israel as that little flock, will administer the kingdom reign of Christ on the planet. During the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, during the period of the four Gospels, he is establishing that government. He is setting apart an established government of faithful people. Wouldn't that be nice to have some here in the world today? An established government of faithful people doing what the book says. Okay? That's why I said on Onslaught, there's two types of people in this world, in America and neighborhoods, lost and saved. Those in Adam, those in Christ. We need to get in Christ, people. Okay? At this point, God is dealing with the establishment of the remnant of Israel and the believing Jews. He identifies in Luke chapter 12 as a little flock who will be the saints who will reign in that kingdom over here. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, he sets up a kingdom, and we call it 1,000 years, millennium kingdom. He sits on the throne of David. I do believe that he promised David that he would sit on the throne forever. So if Lord Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne right here for 1,000 years, when is David going to sit on the throne? When Jesus Christ gets off here, David sits on that throne. Just like we read, Jesus Christ is going to be the authority over the whole universe, guys. He's just not going to sit on a throne in Jerusalem. He's going to sit on a throne governing heaven and earth. And everything's going to be back given to Jesus Christ. And he's going to have authority over it all. That's why you need to understand what, where you at today. Where you at today, God is forming a body of Christ, which he is the head. You can't find that back over here. Jesus Christ is a king in a kingdom. Right here, Jesus Christ is a head of a body, which is the body of Christ, which is no distinction between Jew and Gentile. Everybody's down here lost. There's no benefit for you to be a part of that little flock, that kingdom, trying to build a kingdom on this earth when God is building a body of Christ to be placed in the heavenly places. You know, that's part of the tactic, the religious system, keep you over here, keep you building programs and giving money to something that God's not doing. You should be giving your time and money building a body of Christ, getting this message out, what we proclaim, to a lost and dying world out there. We should be behind TV programs and radio programs that proclaim this good news, guys. We should have our own satellite channel. Not just me. I'm talking about the people that proclaims the good news, the gospel, the grace of God. And I can give you a handful of them. I can give you a slew full of people that that are my brothers and sisters in Christ that proclaims this good news and won't confuse you. And you think about the purpose and the good news of that kingdom, and Jesus Christ is going to sit on the throne. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. He made that distinction, the heaven and earth. And from Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, all the way over to Acts chapter 9, it's the focus of your Bible is all about this earthly place. And when Paul comes here, he said he's first. He's a pattern for those who believe on after him. He's the first member of the body of Christ. So if he's the first member of the body of Christ, where would you go to find out what the body of Christ is all about? It's a good question, isn't it? You would go to Paul's writings, Romans through Philemon, and he's going to take you and tell you that you trust Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again. Jesus Christ, the Spirit, baptizes you into this body that God had predestinated before the world began. Before God created this program, God had this program, him and himself, for a purpose that they would take the heavens back. Listen, this stuff can get deep. Good stuff, okay? Good meat. And sometimes you're not able to eat meat. But so we feed you a little bit at a time. But look, if you're a mature son of God, you can understand what God is doing, that Satan is the prince of power of the air, and he's also the god of this world, and he's in authority. That's what the body of Christ does. He places us, takes us out of here to be an authority in the heavens. Then he goes back to the earth over here and starts dealing with the earth once again. He hasn't forgot about this program. You got to remember, God's postponed this kingdom program. He don't have this program going on right now. So we need to be understandable that all the Bible's for us, but not all of it's to you. And when you understand that, the whole Bible opens up, guys. And gals, the whole Bible, God wants us to understand this. It's plain. The King James Bible is written in sixth grade English. And it's not to be corrupted. It's supposed to be easy simplicity. The simplicity that comes off these words into the hearts of believers should make one grow. Okay? And when you understand that, it will make a difference in your life when you're dealing with this nasty now out there. And it is nasty out there. And it's getting more nastier and nastier every time you flip on your computer, every time you turn on the TV, the ungodliness is going on there. And it's just sad. It's just sad. And it can make an imprint in a young one's life. So just be careful on what we do and what we share, and knowing that the kingdom that we're talking about, now we're going through some lessons over here, and we'll study a little bit more about that kingdom next week, but next lesson, and about the dispensational and the recognition of a principle of progressive revelation, okay? And that God gave some things over here for the nation of Israel to follow, and you know, we would not be the same, we would be do the same thing. I do believe that we have the Word of God. God tells us everything He wants us to know. And if He came to this earth today, a lot of people wouldn't recognize Him, just like they didn't recognize Him over here. So thank God that He died for our sins and buried and rose again, and knowing that we can study the Word of God until He comes back. You know, you have to study. You have to understand this book to appreciate what He did. You know, we talk about all the time that if you're studying for a math test, you wouldn't walk in a science test to take a math test, would you? That would throw you for a loop. You know, you got these people that doctors and lawyers and all this stuff out there. They're studying, electricians and stuff. Electrician would not study how to pick strawberries to wire a house. He wouldn't do it. He has a manual. He has an instruction. And you get that instruction off the page, okay? That's no difference in understanding the Bible dispensationally. So, with that being said, let's go to closing the word of prayer. Father, thank You for the day. Thank You for the things You've given us. We thank You for the privilege to understand the Word of God rightly divided. And Lord, as I think about the brothers and sisters out here globally that are standing for truth, much like we are, we need to lift them up and encourage them to stand fast, keep pressing towards the mark of the high calling, and just knowing that You are in control of those that are saved through the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, if you want to help out with the ministry, we do have a donate button on our website, and we'd love to hear from you. You can go to www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org. You can follow us on our YouTube channel, Dispensational Bible Church. You can also find us on our Facebook page. You can find us on the Boxcast app. It's a little Boxcast is an app that you can place on your computer, your phone, your TV set. If you got Roku, Apple TV, I think Fire Stick will do it. And you click on it, you find us, Dispensational Bible Church. You subscribe to it, and boom, it will pop up there. You can even find our old stuff that we've been working through. So I would encourage you to go back if you haven't yet to work through and listen through all these lessons of fundamentals of dispensational. If you're just coming on, I would encourage the saints in the Massillon Canton area that when we come back up next month, that we're going to continue this. And by the way, many people's asked if we do when we go back up, are we going to continue the live program? And yes, you know, you're going to hear more talking in the background and happy faces and all that stuff. But there's smiling souls that's eager and willing to hear the Word of God rightly divided. So keep that in thought and prayer. It is when you think there's, you know, not people listening, you're listening, aren't you? And we thank You for that. And until next time, till next week, till next lesson, may God bless you.